Hello, everyone. Today, I am excited to welcome Jesse Perez to the show again. Jesse, as you remember, is the founder and CEO of SpotCop Events, a company that's doing something genuinely different in professional development space. SpotCop uses theaters, improvisation, and storytelling to help teams build psychological safety, authentic trust, and that real connection at work. What makes Jesse's perspective so interesting for everybody listening today is where he comes from. He has been performing since he was 8 years old. And as he was sharing with us last time, he has been a theater coach, he has been a producer, and one of my favorite part of his story, he actually worked as a standardized patient role-playing as a fake patient to teach doctors real empathy. Think about that for a second. The idea of SpotCop came to Jesse during pandemic. And before we actually begin with questions, I would love to know that story again, Jesse, for the audience who wasn't there with us last time. Tell me how SpotCop event actually came into picture.
Sure, absolutely. So for those who haven't heard my story, I started my company the same way that everybody starts their company. I had a fight with a roommate. I had a disagreement with a roommate and didn't really have anywhere to go during the pandemic to kind of feel my feelings and step away. So I ended up in an empty parking lot. And I ended up performing in an empty parking lot for no one. For 6 minutes, I performed the finale number from the musical Six. And while this may seem like a silly and absurd moment, what I realized is that there is a true power in storytelling and performing, not to be good or impressive, but just for yourself and for your own freedom. And so I started SpotCop initially as Spotlight, which was just a place for people to be seen, heard, and valued for their own stories outside of judgment, outside of expectation. But something interesting happened that I didn't expect. When we started to run the events, people would stay at these events for an hour. After they were over 2-3 hours, they're becoming roommates, they're becoming best friends. And what I realized is that when you give people an environment to share authentically their stories, and they're not bogged down by needing to be good or impressive, they finally feel valued and heard. And when people feel valued and heard, it transforms the way they interact with others. It transforms the way they relate to others. And so I used that model for many years, and then one day someone said, why don't you have anything like this for organizations? And I have a background in professional development, professional training, and so I thought, why don't I? And so I built it. I built a version of the same aspect of being seen, heard, and valued for professionals, using storytelling, using theater as the catalyst. And that's how I'm here today.
Thank you. That's an amazing story. And Jesse, that reminds me of something. So especially in this world right now, when AI is scaling so rapidly in CX, companies are reporting numbers like 40x, like Anthropic just said. And we are getting valuations like 1 billion for Sierra from yesterday. I wanted to understand, how do leaders keep human connections from getting lost?
I think the key to specifically when talking about CX, and my business more deals with employees that are working with each other. But even if we're talking about outward facing employees speaking directly with customers, the number one thing to remember about AI is that AI is a tool. AI is a tool. So it's great for things like appointment setting and things like that, where it's just like, hey, I need this. Can you make me an appointment at this time? AI can look up all of those metrics, all of those numbers, and do it. But you have to look at when you're, especially when you're dealing with CX, which we deal with the CX industry a lot within our coaching. You have to look at what is the need of your customer. Right. So one, I was a customer service agent back in the day, and one of the projects I worked on, it may have been appointment setting, but it was the first appointment setting ever for COVID testing. Those people were scared and they were confused and they were sad. I would not put an AI on that because yes, they want their appointment set, but they also want to be heard. They want to be cared for and they want to be told, hey, it's going to be okay. We're going to get you what you need. And yes, an AI can mimic some of those things, but there is nothing like actually hearing a real voice on the other side saying, I got you. We're in this together. So I think when you're trying to decide if you should be using AI or you should be using actual people, think about what is the need of your customers. Do they just need a resolution, or do they actually need to be heard?
Got it. That makes sense. And you're absolutely right. So AI can actually handle the volume or repetitive task at scale, while humans actually handle those moments. That makes perfect sense. Jesse, that reminds me of a question. When you think about the way things are being scaled currently, where every employee is now being empowered with AI, they are able to do much more. And in this age, how do you manage engagement and that human connection between employees and even customers?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think because with my work, it really speaks to the engagement that takes place between employees. And I think the number one question most business owners will ask is like, well, why do I need to invest in engagement if AI is going to replace all my people? So here's the interesting thing. It's not. Most companies that are cutting their entire workforce, and there's big billboards saying like, this company cut all of their workforce in lieu of AI. They're doing that loudly. And then quietly, they're rehiring a bunch of them back so that, because what they're realizing is that AI actually needs to be babysat. And it needs to be looked at, and it makes mistakes and all of these things. And then the second thing is that if you look at the research, only 9% of leaders actually believe any of the jobs in their companies have been entirely replaced by AI. Any business owner out there that's like, oh, I can just replace my people with AI, you can't. And so if you can't, what is the answer for engagement? Well, just like you, some business owners think everyone can be replaced by AI. A lot of employees are afraid of being replaced by AI. So they're doing things like quiet quitting. Trust is at an all-time low. And so what you need to be doing as a leader is you need to be upskilling and building trust with your employees. You need to be saying, before you even say like, hey, let's be on a team about AI, you need to actually build authentic trust. And that's where a company like mine comes in, where we really come in, make sure to build that authentic trust outside of any conversations about AI or anything like that. Make sure you're bonded through your stories, your connections, your relationships. Then you bring in a conversation of, okay, now that there is this authentic trust, can you trust that we're bringing in this AI to help you? And can we have an honest conversation about how you feel about it? Then once that's established, then you work through any adaptability changes, which is what you would do with any change process where, you know, some people don't want to adopt and all that. But there's so much more that goes into that AI adoption. And in order for you to even get there, you need to first understand that it is important still to invest in your employees.
Understood. That makes sense. And Jesse, since a lot of the audience who's listening to us today is now wondering about the same thing that I'm wondering mostly, that is that how do I spot these red flags in my teams? What are some things to look out for? And when I notice them, if I wanted to reach out to you, what does the next step look like for spot cop events? I would love to know that.
Yeah, absolutely. So specifically when we're talking about AI, right?
Relationships, empathy, human connection in my teams, if it's going away, how do I spot all of them?
Got it. Yeah. So when we talk about that on a broader scale, it can look like a lot of different things. But I would say the biggest things to look at is, one, are people speaking up in meetings? Are they sharing new ideas, or are they just sitting back and going, Also look at, you want to look at faces. You want to see if like faces in meetings are engaged, or if people are all, as one of my employees puts it, alt tabbing. So you can see the light change on their screen because they're actually doing something else. The second thing, is your team offering new ideas, or are they just saying yes, yes, yes? Because even a leader who comes up with the best ideas in the world, a team that is authentically, psychologically safe and authentically in communication, they're going to be contributing. And three, and this one might be surprising, are you hearing dissenting opinions? Are you hearing opinions of like, hey, actually, I don't totally agree with that? If you're not, likelihood is people don't feel comfortable sharing that stuff with you. If you're not hearing that kind of information, those are all great key factors to bring in a team like mine. And if you're specifically talking about AI, congratulations, you already have those issues. And I'm not saying that to be like, it's scary. I'm saying everyone's afraid of AI. And the research shows that nobody is doing enough right now because it's so new to build that trust. And everybody is scared. So if you're in the AI integration process, congratulations, it is already time to engage with a company like mine. And then you asked how we would start that engagement. So everything we do is entirely customizable to the needs of the team that we work with. And then we start with one team and then we work our way through the organization. So we would usually start with the highest level of leadership. And what we want to talk about is, what is your ideal? What would you love to see your team look like? Oh, I'd love to see us speak up more in meetings. I would love to see my team adopt this at a faster rate and be more open to that adoption. I would love to have stronger relationships and bonds. I would love to see my team work less siloed. And then we take those things and we transform them into theatrical and storytelling experiences that transform your team. And then we mix that with authentic academic research. So you know, more creative people who are like, oh, we get to play a game and we get to explore. They engage at that level and they're bought in from there. And then we can teach them from that place. And then your people who are more skeptical and are like, this theater thing, I don't totally get it. We back everything up with academic research from respected resources like Gallup and Harvard Business Journal, so that not only are you getting this experiential learning, but then you're also getting this academic breakthrough learning as well. And the combination of the two is what leads to kind of a transformation unlike anyone has experienced. And from that place, we look at your company holistically, and then we're going to work with each team to kind of bring everyone together to a place of confidence and awareness and the skills that they want to work on.
Sounds good. So if you are currently in a meeting and you are seeing faces that don't really look like they're engaged, you don't hear your teams really give you an opinion that's not what you said exactly, but something different or alternate, you don't see your teams contributing. Those are some red flags to look out for. And as Jesse said, if you wanted help, there is a very clear, customized, and scientifically proven way to achieve that with Jesse. And we would love to know more about it, Jesse. And I would love to do more of these podcasts. But before we move further, one last thing that I really wanted to know. What is one habit that we all can adapt in the professional world to keep human at the core, the empathy between us?
Yeah, this is going to seem basic, but then I'm going to make it seem less basic. And the answer is acknowledgement. Acknowledgement, acknowledgement, acknowledgement. You have no idea how often someone is this close to when they're working on something being like, I don't want to do this anymore. No one's listening. No one cares. So, and just you leaning over and saying a little like, hey, I really appreciated what you said in the meeting, or I really, because it breaks through that noise and it makes them go, oh, I am heard. I am valued. And that's the first piece of it. But the second piece of acknowledgement is that it reinforces good behavior. While I don't have exact statistics on it, the amount of employees that do things without any knowledge if people are actually appreciating it or valuing it is so high. So sometimes an employee will do something amazing and then they'll never do it again because they thought it was a bad idea. But you actually saying, like, not just, hey, I really appreciated that, but like actually being really specific. Hey, the way you spoke up in that meeting and what you said specifically about this topic, I really loved that and appreciate that you are doing that. Then they not only know that you value them, they also know to continue the behavior. So you won't lose good behavior as well when you acknowledge it. Because once you acknowledge something, they put in their minds, okay, I need to keep doing this. And also, when you have acknowledgement in the mix, when you need to give critical feedback and you need to give, they're not like, oh, they're just, because I know a lot of us have heard about like the compliment sandwich, like, oh, I give good feedback and then I give negative feedback and then I give good feedback again. If you condition your employees to think the only time they're going to get good feedback is when they get constructive feedback, they're going to be braced for that. So you want to make acknowledgement something you dole out very liberally. Now you want to make sure it's authentic and true. You don't want to be like, you're doing a great job if they're not, because they'll also feel that. But the more you can give out and dole out authentic acknowledgement, the more success you will have when you have moments where you need to give that constructive feedback.
Jesse, I love that. In fact, acknowledgement, acknowledgement, acknowledgement. That is so true, especially the way you said it. You don't know how close somebody is today to saying, hey, I don't want to do this anymore. And that one acknowledgement can make a huge difference. Thank you so much. This has been such a great conversation. Round two did not disappoint at all. In fact, I think we are in for a round three at some point. And maybe this time we are going to make this a panel team. So what I love about talking with you is that you bring conversations back to something simple every time. People, the tool change, the tech changes, the, you know, even sometimes the way you do things change. People who are doing them, they don't really change. That doesn't go away. If anything, it's getting even more important every day. For everyone listening, if you want to learn more about Jesse and the amazing work he's doing, SpotCorp Event is doing, head over to spotcorpevents.com. It doesn't matter if you're a leader or you're trying to build a strong culture or you're trying to learn more about this. Thank you so much, Jesse. Thank you for coming back on. This has been a pleasure to our listeners. Thank you for tuning in into this podcast again. Everyone have a great day.